Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky here with Father Boniface Hicks. And Father, in our last episode, actually a little bit after the conversation of recording our last episode, we were having a conversation about AI. And it's like this whole new big thing that's taken over the world, right? And I have a lot of thoughts on it from my professional standpoint about how people are using it. But it also opens up a thought, and I'm using AI more as a conduit as an example here than strictly about AI, although if you want to take it that way, we can, that when there's less human interaction and there's more just randomness occurring, what I mean by this, I have, like many people, CRM programs, and typically I just put the people in there or it becomes self-populating in a way that doesn't have any personal input. It's just kind of the internet chooses when it goes, gets it. The AI makes the selections and the determinations and all that fun stuff. And it's amazing that when I have conversations, all of which with strangers, how often it will be that someone will present a solution. And then literally later that day, I'll find someone who had a problem for it. And this goes back to our last conversation when we were talking about how much raw data is presented to our subconscious every day and what do we respond to kind of give the second connection there. And what I wanted to make this connection here, because on the one hand, I don't want to ignore a possibility. On the other hand, I don't want to force a possibility, just to be clear the tension I'm trying to live in here. But that just seems like a place for, you know, God really be present. You know, we're not forcing it. There's no free will forcing here, but just, I noticed that detail about someone subconsciously, or for some reason, this appointment got scheduled and this person doesn't get an email sent to them for 3 more days. And again, that's the way I'm using AI now. There's a gajillion different ways to do it. I know that. But even if you're using it as go create an image for me for this YouTube thumbnail to get more people to click on it, it's going to go do that based upon your prompts, but it still has a lot of variability in there. So knowing that you have both the God and the computer science background in your corner here, I wanted to just bring up this concept and see if I'm crazy for thinking that in this world of AI, there's room for God essentially, or if I'm trying to force something in that isn't there.
Well, they're really interesting questions, and I'm not sure I'm going to give the answers that I would want to give, but we'll give it a shot.
Fair enough.
There's a temptation to insert God into the gaps, which, as a basic principle, we always want to be careful not to reduce him to that, as if the world kind of functions on its own, and then God is like a little magician that slips in a little thing here and a little thing there and guides processes and secondary causalities. And it's not the worst thing to do, but it's the kind of thing people will do, like in terms of evolution. Basically, evolution is going along swimmingly, and then every once in a while, God is the one that inserts the kind of crazy metamorphosis that then moves an ape into a human being. So as if God just sort of tweaks a process that basically goes along on its own. Whereas the reality is God is constantly pressing into everything. And in fact, at a philosophical level, God is being, he is who is, as he declared himself to Moses. And he is the shape of everything. And so he's constantly involved in everything. So anyway, just as a general principle, we always want to be careful not to just sort of insert God into in-between times and reduce him to, I don't know, miraculous shifts or like he's just merely more intelligent than we are by an order of magnitude. It's not even in the same measuring capacity what God is doing and able to do. So, because he's not one being among others. He is the ground of all being. So what's happening in AI? Well, we should recognize also that AI itself is dependent entirely on human beings in the sense that it only knows what an image is because we told it what an image is. It only has images to draw from because we created the images. It only has language to use because we created the language. It only has things to fill in based on the data of what we have already done. And so it's building on a mountain of data, which is all human stuff. So the very fabric of what AI can do is all built from the fabric of our humanity that precedes it and that necessarily accompanies it, you know, and then the sorts of queries that we provide more, you know, space for learning and growth and everything else. And so, and then it's just combining things in ways that are interesting and we might not have thought of or done. It's sort of approaching from a little different perspective, and then something new is emerging from that. But, you know, it's almost like even in terms of the images, you almost have to conceptualize it before you can tell AI how to create it. And so again, it's really an extension of our intelligence. It's a tool rather than, you know, something in between. So how does God relate to that? Well, God, of course, created us, and God is constantly pressing into all of our processes of creativity and of development, and you know, so we are deeply moved by God all the time, whether we recognize it or not. Better to recognize it and to move with him intentionally than simply to be moved by him and or even resist. And so AI is really more like a tool that is working at the hands of humans who are, you know, working at the hands of God, you might say. And then it's some of God's beauty. I mean, it's some of God's intelligence, obviously, that's flowing into us and that's flowing out into some of the creativity that happens there, whether it's in the interesting combinations of those things by the artificial intelligence or whether it's by the conceptualization that a person has and then carries out with the tool of artificial intelligence. So the creations are always mirroring, although partially, the intelligence, the beauty, the goodness of God as all of that passes through us. So anyway, it's a little bit of a framework that we can...
Yeah, no, it's amazing there. So I think that starting with the thought process of stepping back and realizing that God is everywhere, not just in the spots that we don't see. And I think that that's an important thought process there, because you might just have they just caught my attention, that eye, and that's, or in that moment, that's why I went over and talked to him, and then this connection happened. And that doesn't mean that God wasn't there or was there, because the answer is he's always there. So I think that that's an important thing to really try to bring out. And then I love the part where you said about, let's not resist it. You know, if you're getting that feeling inside of you that you should go do something, you should probably go do it. Why you realize it or not is not less consequential than you going and acting upon it. And I think that that's something that we brought up a lot, is that the actions that you do make a big difference. And then here in the realm of AI with all this automation, it's, you're right, you did still put in a prompt. I still did create you know, input fields that had some form of funnel for people to sign up for this emailing list in the first place. It wasn't just every person on the planet. So you're right. In some cases, I'm reducing what we actually did. But I do want to kind of press into another part here on the AI front before we get off of it, because we probably will. But that thought being that there is this notion now that they can get so well at detecting the way you think, detecting the way that you write, that basically it can be the most perfect bot out there for the planet. And you can do all of your marketing and essentially have this little AI robot talking for you. And I wanted to have this conversation with you explicitly because we talk about relationships all the time. But to me, I feel like this is like the worst idea ever. And just because we can do it doesn't mean we should. Like, I like the concept that something can write well for me, so that way I can get more done in terms of figuring out a word block or something like that. I do not like the idea of it essentially taking over communications for me and then thinking that when I do actually connect with this person face-to-face across the internet, it doesn't really matter, that we're going to be on the same page. Because they're going to, because that recipient is going to be talking to an AI, thinking they're talking to me. And just by nature of communication, you grow. Like the more we talk to each other, the more we become comfortable and all that. And if you jump into a conversation when someone thinks you're six steps further than where you're really at, you get an instant divide and effectively kill a potential connection. I wanted to bring that up because, A, I think it's a horrible idea that's getting pushed everywhere. And it just seems that it's a recipe for relationship disaster and how to kill trust. So not to get on a whole tangent about that, but I wanted to see if that thought process is right or if I'm missing something, because again, I don't try to be the expert in this space. It's essentially when you walk down the automotive section and you see all those tools, you're like, I wonder what all those are for. I know what some of them are for, but not all of them. That's how I am with AI. And it feels like that aisle just keeps getting longer and longer with potential tools. So, well, I want to get with you, but it's like, yeah, keep showing my ignorance on screen.
Yeah, no, it's, I really appreciate the one kind of central point that you made there, Joe, that we always want to use tools in a way that facilitates relationships but instead of replacing them or limiting them. So I think that's a really important takeaway principle. So the question then becomes, are there ways to use AI that facilitate a relationship rather than replace it? And, I think that we're still figuring that out is a basic answer. So we have allowed, you could kind of go into these questions in terms of what we did with text messaging. Was text messaging a bad idea? We're reducing conversations and personal interactions to a string of a few, you know, letters, words. But I think we've found ways to manage that. It can go either way. You know, I think I keep up some relationships with texting that I just wouldn't keep up otherwise. That's not to say that's the reduction of the relationship, but I can stay connected with people in a meaningful way in between personal conversations and things like that. There's a utilitarian piece of it where I just have to send on my way or, you know, be there in five or something like that. And still there's a relational connection. It's facilitating that. And so I think, you know, there may be some ways that the artificial intelligence filling in some of the gaps in ways that are true to me could be helpful. So with you, I can, you know, probably just say a few words and we know each other pretty well. And those words are pretty meaningful because they're in the context of a whole relationship. But with somebody who doesn't know me as well, I may really need to have a few paragraphs to say the same thing. If the AI can save me the time of writing out the few paragraphs and actually communicate effectively the filler, the context that is a genuine context for me because it's learned me, and that can save me in some way from writing all that out. Maybe that facilitates a relationship and helps us to get to the point where we can interact in a, I don't know, smaller bits or something like that. Maybe not, you know, maybe it really requires some of the sacrifice of typing those things out or writing those things out or saying those things. And maybe there's, you know, something in between those two. I mean, there are ways, I'm just thinking like, there are ways I get to know people from their Facebook profile or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's totally generic in the sense that it's not made for me, but it does reveal something about you. And I can get to know you without you having to tell me all of that again, and we post it once. So AI could be something like that it provides some of that kind of context and helps to fill some things in. You know, tell Joe my story, and especially as it pertains to business or something, and explain, you know, so I might be able to give some instructions to artificial intelligence that's able to apply particular things to facilitate a communication with somebody. But anyway, all of that is to say, I've just used a lot of words to try and explore some reasonable applications which fulfill that principle that tools should facilitate relationships, not replace them or limit them. And I think that has to be what we're looking for.
Yeah, and I think that there's just so much of the core fundamental issue that there's a desire to do less. I think that's fair to say. I mean, every tool that mankind's invented, you could argue, is a desire to do less, from fire all the way out. Fire makes your body work less to break down meat when you're eating it after it's been cooked. So I get that there's a natural inclination to do that. It just seems that when I look back in totality, did people have better relationships when they were mostly doing communication and face-to-face versus the telegram, then the phone, then all this? And you're right. It's a change. It's not to say that one is necessarily worse than the other, but it certainly is different. But I think that when you look at it from that context of, I don't know, 1800 to now, going across that 250 years of communication technology, you can see that you spoke to less people for a lot of different reasons. A, the technology didn't allow us to talk to more, but in general, you had deeper connections with those. And I think that that's part of the tension that we talk about here that is throwing me off with this topic in general, is that, yeah, I'm able to be exposed to vastly more people. I mean, you can go on right now and create essentially a spam campaign and touch millions, if not billions, of people in a relatively quick period of time. But is that actually a meaningful connection? And I think that that's really the thought process back here that I'm trying to go through here and figure out, you know, not saying that it's even possible to say I'm never going to use AI again. It's too integrated. It's everywhere. But to intentionally dive in and think that, you know what, I don't need to have this person writing these documents for me because I'm going to have a computer do it, I think is a step back. I think it's going to hurt a lot more companies than it will help, and they just don't see it yet. And I just see that fear and risk out there because, you know, even with what you were saying there of, I know that when we're communicating, you can send me 2 texts and we'll be able to work it out, basically less than a sentence worth of data if you're ready in an email. And when we first started, it was much longer than that. So if you can just tell the AI what to write for the big part, it would cut time. But also there was a process of writing that out and learning each other of, well, this is how I actually should communicate with this person and other. Because the other elephant in the room is I communicate differently with every person involved. I don't have one standard way. And how could you even possibly try to adjust that and get it correctly? Just to me seems mathematically impossible. But it's a challenge that I see in the world that companies that are all diving into this are probably hurting themselves in the long run. So I don't know. I didn't mean to get down this whole rant. It's just a thought process of things I experience in my life on the day-to-day basis, and wanted to talk to you about it. So I do want to give you a chance to respond here as we're kind of concluded today's episode.
Yeah. Well, ironically, I'm tempted to reverse positions on you. I'm usually the one defending relationships and you're doing that. I guess I would say, you know, I think I have the same signature on all of my emails, mm-hmm. and I send that to everybody, and those who need it, use it, and those who don't, ignore it. And I guess I see AI more like that. So creating some filler that is going to be useful for some people and less necessary for other people. And again, I think that would be a way to do it without diminishing the relational growth that you were, that we were just describing.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate everyone out there, they're listening as well. And in terms of growth, you guys are certainly helping us. And if there's ever a conversation or a topic that you wish we had or wish we pressed deeper into, please send us an email. You can see it in all of the descriptions that, again, basically only AIs read, to use your point here from your signature. But you can see our email in there that you can reach out to us. We are fatherandjoe@gmail.com. Very simple. And we'd love to follow up and have conversations in deeper to what you specifically are asking about from the audience and not just the things that are coming into my world. So we thank you all for listening, and we'll be with you again next week.